Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here this evening. Those of us that are online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. May I be like you. May I be like you.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth. worship, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Be through the shadows dim.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen.
Welcome, Pastor Steve.
Hey, man. Thank you. Very, very good. You were coming in here hot tonight, and you got her done and got that thing online and stepped up to the plate. Thank you for doing that. Outstanding. Well, let's think about our prayer needs tonight. First, let's have a praise and testimony time. Miss Sissy, we want to hear that praise. Here we go. All right. Everybody go. Aw, shucks. Aw, shucks. Especially the teachers, because the teachers, that is like work for how long? 6 weeks, 8 weeks? It's months. Yeah, to get ready for that. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, that ought to cover the summer. Amen. Yeah. Oh. All right. Give me the number. 16,156 was the fundraiser, or is the fundraiser, in lieu of the chili cook-off since we didn't have it. That's been donations that have come in. GoFundMe raised about, what, $1,000? GoFundMe raised about $1,000, and then the rest of it has been donations. So cash, checks, everything, right? Yeah, amazing. So 16,156. Woohoo! All right, it's great praise. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. All right, what are we going to call that? Can't call it chili cook-off. Nobody made any chili. Call it an alternate chili cook-off or something. I don't know. You and me both, John. Yeah, we were going to win the top chili prize this year. Alternate. Or call it COVID fundraiser, right? Yeah. Something good come out of the COVID, right? COVID chili cook-off fundraiser. It's great praise. Amen. All right, all right. Other praises, testimonies. Yes, ma'am. All right, good for you. And you were going, how long were you going? You were going a lot longer. Yeah, 3 to 4 months. Good for you, Miss Pat. Yeah. All right. Miss Pat, this is a left hand ankle, right? Left ankle, yeah. Left ankle's a healing. That's good news. All right, other praises or testimonies? Anything else? Miss Marilyn came through her surgery, so she's had her other hip done. So she's got two brand new hips. So she's in recovery. So that's a praise. And we'll continue to pray for Miss Marilyn that she heals up and gets back at it, right? Hip surgery. Success. And Brother Bill's surgery was a success, was it not? Biopsy on his, the thing on the vocal, on his lung. Okay, so no cancer. Biopsy on lung. Negative. Bill Neal. That's a great praise. All right, other praises. What else, what else? Anything else? Nothing? Is that it? Okay, prayer requests. What we got? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Off of blood thinner. That's a great praise. Okay, okay. Praise off. On your lung, something on the, okay. Off of blood thinners. And going to be having a CT scan, correct? Okay. Okay. And this is for the lungs, pulmonologist. Okay. Paul, CT scan, lungs. Got it. Got it, got it, got it. Good. We'll pray. We'll pray, Brother Paul. What else? What else? Yes, sir, in the back. Okay. Oh, man. That's good news. Yeah. We've got a dead deer behind our house in the behind our backyard in the green belt between our property and the high school's property, and apparently the hailstorm on Thursday night, last Thursday, got her. So pretty big doe, and appears to be pregnant. I mean, as big as she is. I mean, I found her on, I guess, Sunday. She had died sometime Thursday night from the hailstorm. You know, I first thought, well, maybe somebody hit her. First I thought, why is that deer lying down like that? Deer normally don't let you get that close. They normally get up and bolt off. And then I got a little bit closer and a little bit closer. I said, that deer is not living. And legs are fine, no blood trail, nothing. Nobody, doesn't look like anybody tried to poach her or nothing's attacked her. So I'm assuming a golf ball size hailstone got her in the head somewhere, took her out. So anyway, good for Dustin. Ran into deer. Hopefully he has comprehensive. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Ron. I remember him telling me about that. bosses. Yeah, she was going over there helping out a lot with hospice and stuff, I think. Sarah's brother passed. Okay. Thank you for that, brother. What else? Other prayer needs? Unspokens? Okay. What you got, man? Okay. All right, we'll lift Zeus up. Mr. Devant, what did you have, sir? Oh, man. Okay. Friend's name is Amanda. Is that correct? Amanda. Hospital COVID. And how long has she been in? Several days. Is she showing any improvement, or do you know? Don't know. Okay. It's still around, isn't it? Man, oh man. Trevor got his second injection yesterday morning. Yeah, second injection yesterday morning. So this morning he was running the COVID fever, bless his heart. So we said, hey man, Tylenol up. This too shall pass. So yes, ma'am, another praise, we'll take it. Yes. Right. Well, good for her. Saw walking with a walker. That's awesome. Amen. All right. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Really? Okay, this brother Richard, and he had a blight, heart ablation. Were they trying to get his heart in rhythm? Okay. I see you. All right. Okay, and also Don and Walt. Don and Walt Bates' daughter, Courtney, she had some surgery about 7 weeks ago and developed some kind of a nerve. When they do these certain surgeries on you, they contort you like, you know, and you don't know how they're contorting you because you're on a table strapped to it. And anyway, after the surgery, she developed this nerve pain. They couldn't knock it out. They couldn't give her anything for it. They couldn't. And so she's having, Courtney's having back surgery. Is having it or has had it? Maybe had it today. Walt's daughter. Courtney, nerve pain. I mean, some of you people have had sciatica before, haven't you? You know, something like that. If you've never had sciatica, you don't want it. Or any of that kind of nerve pain like what Miss Marilyn was going through. You're ready to check out and go be with Jesus when that stuff starts crunching on you. All right, Donald Walt, our Courtney nerve pain. Especially when nothing touches it. You can take all the opioids you want. It just keeps on grinding on you. All right, anything else? Courtney, we got Courtney down. Yes, sir. Yeah. Got Zeus. Felicia. What? Oh, yeah, hit her in the head. All right, and her name is? Yeah, y'all figure that out, Aralee. I think the good Lord knows who she is, amen? Aralee, is that it? Aralee. Is she working with you or used to work with you? Huh? Okay. All right, we get her done? Well, I think the good Lord knows who we're talking about. Amen. Amen. All right, let's lift these things up tonight, and we'll get back into Revelation. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we are overjoyed in our hearts because we have some things to praise you for. We always have our salvation to praise you for, Lord, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the grace you bestowed upon us and the mercy, Lord, and the wrath that you withhold from us because of our salvation. We're thankful for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross that shields us, covers us. Lord, makes us whole. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for your life, Jesus, that you gave in place of ours. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and all that you do for us and how you provide and sustain us, Lord. And as we come to you tonight, Lord, we lift up these other praises to you. We're thankful that Marisol is able now to walk after this horrific car accident several months back. We pray for her continued rehab, Lord, and her continued recovery. And, Lord, we just pray that you might see her through. And Lord, bring her miraculously to a full recovery after having two crushed legs, Lord. We just lift her up and pray for her. Lord, we are so blessed beyond measure and so thankful tonight as we think about all it takes to fund the school and to run the Christian school, Lord. And we're so thankful tonight for the generosity of friends of the school and parents associated with the school, Lord, and just people in the community that saw fit in their heart, some led of the Lord, to give above and beyond to this fundraiser this year. Lord, it's a huge, huge amount of money, and we're just blessed by it, thankful for it. And Lord, I pray we'd be good stewards of it as it has come our way. May we use it to fund your work next door and to glorify your name. Lord, we praise you for Miss Pat and her recovery after this second surgery on her left ankle. Lord, we're thankful that she's healing good. The doctor's encouraged. And Lord, we pray that perhaps here in a few weeks she would get out of this cast and into a boot. And Lord, we just pray that you watch over that healing process and not have any setbacks in that healing process. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Marilyn and John and what they mean to our church. And Lord, we're praying for Miss Marilyn tonight as she recovers from a second hip surgery on that other hip. And Lord, we pray that this is the beginning of some pain-free days for her as she gets through recovery and Lord builds all those muscles back up and gets going again and all that stuff. Lord, we're thankful for Brother Bill Neal and how his biopsy on his lung came back negative. We give you the praise and the glory for that. I know Brother Bill's praising you for that, Lord, so we just join him and Karen and Todd and all of their family in praising you, Lord, that was a negative for cancer biopsy. Lord, we lift up Brother Paul to you tonight. We praise you that he's no longer on those blood thinners and the problems and the issues those were causing. Those are behind him. But, Lord, as we began talking about these prayer requests, we lift Brother Paul up to you, praying for this pulmonologist, Lord, and praying for his lungs. And God, we just pray that you lead, guide, and direct those doctors. And Lord, we pray there wouldn't be anything going on there. But Lord, we just pray that you provide a good cardiologist to help Brother Paul at this time. Lord, we lift up Vince's son, Dustin, as he is in need of transportation. Lord, we're thankful that the deer didn't come through the window. We're thankful that he's okay. Lord, cars can be replaced and repaired and all of that stuff. And Lord, we just pray that you lead, guide, and direct old Dustin as he seeks to find another set of wheels that will get him from point A to point B. We lift up Ron Wade's boss to you tonight, Lord. Miss Sarah, we pray for her. We pray for her family and the loss of her brother, loss of her family member. We pray that, Lord, you would use Ron, Lord, of course, and other Christian men and women to bring comfort to that family. And, Lord, I pray that in the midst of COVID, there would be some semblance of a memorial or a funeral, and Lord, there would be some hospice chaplain or pastor, preacher, or minister that would share the Word of God, share words of comfort from the Scripture, and Lord, ultimately sow seeds of the gospel as they celebrate a life and think about a life in its passing. But Lord, we lift up Sarah tonight to you. We pray for her family. Pray that you comfort them. Lord, we always want to pray for these unspokens, and Lord, we're thankful that we can bring them to you, and Lord, we don't have to speak them publicly, but as we begin to mention them, folks here in the congregation and those watching online are ready to lift those up to you, Lord, and lay those at your feet again. And Lord, we're thankful that you care for us and you're tender to us when it comes to these unspokens. And Lord, we're just thankful that we can lay them down at your feet one more week. Lord, we lift up Lori's friends to you tonight, Zeus and Arabelle. We pray for Arabelle's recovery from this concussion, Lord. I pray that she not have any lasting side effects, and that, Lord, that old brain area would just heal up fine and she'd be back at it going strong. Zeus, we just pray for his many health issues, Lord, and pray you touch his body, bring healing to him. And Lord, I pray that you might use Lori and use Jeremiah and use other Christian folk to just sow seeds of the gospel into Zeus's heart and other folks that Lori comes in contact with. Lord, I pray that all of the folks that struggle physically, Lord, would meet the great physician before they leave this earth. They would meet Jesus Christ. They would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And they would find out what spiritual healing is all about, Lord. We lift them up to you tonight. Lord, we lift up Deanne's friend tonight, Amanda, as she is in the hospital with COVID. Lord, we pray that you would heal her. Lord, we pray that she would not have to be put on a ventilator. Lord, we pray that her lungs would not get inflamed to the point where they're damaged. Lord, we just pray that you would help Amanda, heal Amanda. Lord, just see Amanda through, her and her family. Lord, watch over them. We pray a hedge of protection around them, that nothing else would come against them at this time as they're going through this this COVID stuff. Lord, we lift up Brother Richard to you tonight, and we pray for his cardiovascular system. We lift up his old heart tonight, Lord, and we're praying that his oxygen levels would come up and that, Lord, his AFib would calm down and everything would just beat in time and be regular. And, Lord, just help the doctors. Be with Deb and be with Judy and the rest of their brothers and sisters, Lord. Just be with them as they're praying for their dad and lifting him up. And, Lord, we just pray you touch Brother Richard's life and bring healing to him. Lord, we lift up Courtney to you tonight. Pray for Courtney McConathy, and we just pray your healing hand upon her. Lord, we pray that this surgery that she's having or has already had, Lord, would bring recovery from this horrendous nerve pain that she's been in for the last 7 weeks. Lord, we pray for relief. We pray for some rest. And Lord, we pray for a body that would begin to heal itself and recover. And Lord, in the midst of all that, we just pray for Walt and Don, and Lord, help them just continue to look towards you as they face all the challenges that each and every one of us have to face, physical challenges and family challenges and spiritual challenges and all the like. Lord, may we just all continue to look to you in faith, trusting you, leaning into you, Lord, walking with you daily in prayer, and being in your word. We're thankful for your word tonight. We praise you for it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, well, let's take a swipe here at the book of Revelation one more time. We're in Revelation chapter 12, and that is the beginning of the second half of the book. Okay, we kind of got into that a little bit last week. We'll look at verses 1 through 6. So Revelation chapter 12, beginning here in verse 1, and we'll take it through about verse 6. So if you found that tonight, Revelation 12, verse 1. Okay, very good. All right. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God reads this. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Okay? And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Amen. So last time we were dealing with asking the question, trying to answer the question, asking an answer. You guys do it in school all the time. You ask a question, then you try to, you know, lead them to answer the question. So that's what we were trying to do with you guys. Who is the woman, right? Those of you online, who is the woman, right? We got anybody online? Woo, thank you. 9 people. Well, good to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. Another installment of Revelation. Who is the woman? Well, we said last week the woman is the nation of Israel. That's right. We talked about her description. A great sign appeared, right? We talked about her number. She's a symbolic woman, right? Representing the nation of Israel. So she is, how many symbolic women in the book of Revelation? There's 4. She's the number 2 of the 4 women in the book of Revelation. Okay, so her number. We talked about her identity, again, Israel. Her prophecy, verse 1, that's beautiful. Her accessories, right? Every woman's got them. You'll see purses. I see matching shoes and all the like. Amen. Matching masks, accessories, right? Got accessories. Black mask could go with anything, right? Right? Or what other color goes with everything? I said black. What other color? Gray. That's right. Gray goes about with anything. All right. So her accessories. You women know what's going on. Her condition, she was with child. Amen. You ladies can relate to that. Her response, and she cried out, right? And then we talked about her destiny in verse 2. We continue on this evening, and I don't want to sugarcoat the truth here, but this may be, I don't know, this may sound a little harsh, point number 2 of what we, point number 1 was last week, point number 2. It's kind of a Jeopardy thing, right? You know, you answer the Jeopardy questions with who is, right? We did who is the woman. Well, who is, yeah, okay, here we go. 3 and 4. We're on verses 3 and 4. Who is the murdering, because that's what he is, who is the murdering post-birth abortionist? Verses 3 and 4, because that's what's going on. There's an abortion about to happen here. Or he wants it to happen, right? He's standing here to devour the child when she gives birth. So who is the murdering post-birth abortionist, right? It's abortion in the womb. It's partial birth abortion halfway out of the womb. And out of the womb, it is post-birth abortion. So this is a post-birth abortionist here. The next vision is of a great red what? It says dragon, doesn't it? Who has 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 what? 7 diadems, crowns, all right? What we're going to do is to take this description of the dragon and we seek to break it down symbol by symbol. Per the Word of God, we know that the dragon is none other than Satan. Chapter 12, verse 9 tells us that. Chapter 20, verse 2 tells us that. And only in Revelation is this Satan, the devil, only in Revelation is Satan identified as a dragon, a far more terrifying thing than simply calling him a serpent, right? A dragon versus a serpent, we kind of get the gist of that. So the symbols and what they mean concerning the dragon, verse 3. 12:3, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. Red, the color of what? What is red the color of? Huh? Blood? Yes? Red is also the color of war. And, as you said, blood. War and bloodshed. The red here in this context, in this verse, the red here, I said red hair again. the word red in the passage, all right, brings to mind the red horse of what? Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation 6, 4. Remember those horses? That was a fun part to go through. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. The red in our passage brings to mind the red horse of Revelation 6:4. The dragon is a killer. He brings death. He brings war and bloodshed with him when he comes. Red, and then we see dragon, right? Dragon. A dragon is a winged serpent. There is no such thing in our natural world today. Was there a such thing as dragons in the past? Probably. But today, we don't have them, right? This, again, is a picture of the devil, right? In fact, we are very safe in identifying the dragon and the devil because of what 12:9 says. We'll just read 12:9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Right? The description dragon is symbolic, just as the woman in the previous verses represents Israel. The dragon represents, and you guys all know it, Satan. Right, yeah. All represents, yeah, Satan. 7 heads speaks of what? Vast intelligence, okay? We're dealing with a brilliant and wise creature, Satan, right? Don't take him for granted, right? Vast intelligence. 10 horns. Horns are a symbol of power. All right, power. Satan is not all powerful. He's not all powerful. He's not omnipotent like the Lord is. He's not all powerful. He only has allowed or permitted power that he's usurped and that God has allowed him to keep. 7 crowns, diadems. Depending on your Bible translations, diadems, crowns in there. Crowns are a symbol of authority. Satan is still, as yucky as it is to say, but Satan is still, again, you kind of get a bad taste in your mouth just saying it, Satan is still the lowercase g, God of this world. Satan is still the lowercase g, God of this world. Whether we like that or not, that's just the way it is. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whose case the God, lowercase g, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's something to kind of think about, isn't it? I mean, you come across people, You love people. You talk to people. You know people. And you're saved. I mean, the penny's dropped for you. You've made the connection. You've invited him in. And you're like, I've talked to them, and I've prayed for them, and I've talked to them, and I've sowed gospel seed into them, and I've crammed it down their throat with them. I mean, you know, you've tried every approach, right? And it just doesn't seem to... Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, as we think about the old devil here, as we think about Satan, remember Satan's downward spiral, okay? His downward spiral and his fall, so to speak. How did he fall? Preacher, what's that all about? I've heard about it in the past. We've maybe had a Sunday school lesson on it a time or two, but he has this downward spiral and fall. How did that? Satan tried to lead a mutiny against God among the angels. Now, I said he was smart, right? But something got a hold of him, right? Something got a hold of him and skewed his intelligence to the point where he thought that he was going to have some kind of a successful campaign against God Almighty. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, when you think about that. So he led a mutiny against God among the angels, and he attempted unsuccessfully to destroy the paradise of heaven. So then, if I can't mess that up, I'll find me something I can mess up, right? And so when he's cast down, thrown out, the first mutiny, where he spiraled and fell out of and didn't make, his first mutiny led to a second mutiny against God among men, right? That takes us back to the book of Genesis, which we've already been through. And so Satan did destroy the earthly paradise of the Garden of Eden. He plunged the whole human race into decay and corruption and took what was not rightfully his. He usurped the role of the ruler of this world. Now, if you want some text, some scripture, those of you online watching with me tonight, those of you here with me tonight, if you want some scripture for that, we can go to John chapter 12. Let's just look at John 12. John 12. John chapter 12. You in there? John 12:31 says, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Okay? And then if we go further into the Gospel of John, into chapter 16, 14, 15, we were in 12, now we're in 16. 16 where? 16:11. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. All right? So, we're talking about what the different things that we come across in verse 3 of Revelation 12, what they represent, what they mean in regards to Satan, in regards to the devil. It says 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems and crowns. Yeah, you told us that. You told us what the 7 heads mean. That means vast intelligence. And the 10 horns, that means power. And 7 diadems and crowns. But individually, they all mean something. But when we put them together, when we put the 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems and crowns together, they mean something comprehensively. Well, what do they mean when we put those all together? Kind of like a recipe. We're going to cook it up. What do they mean? Together, comprehensively, they reveal something deeper. The 7 heads with their 7 diadems represent 7 consecutive world empires running, right? Running in the history, running their course under whose dominion? Under Satan's dominion. What are these consecutive world empires? Well, we've studied Egypt when we went through the book of Genesis, right? Egypt, or Exodus, rather. I'll get my books right here in a minute. We looked at Egypt. Assyria, that's number two. Babylon, that's a big player when we get into the Bible, study Daniel. Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, that's four. Greece, that's five. Rome, that's six. That leaves one more, all right? We've not gotten there yet to that one. That one is the Antichrist, future empire, spoken of in Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 through 10. So, let's turn there just real quick. Revelation 17, 9 and 10. Revelation 17, yep, 9 through 10. Here is the mind which has wisdom, the seven heads, 17:9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is the other, has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. So the final kingdom, ruled by Antichrist, will be a ten-nation confederacy. The ten horns represent the kings who will rule under the Antichrist. And we see that in 17:12, and we see that in 13:1 of Revelation. We also see that referred to in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. So the shifting of the diadems from the dragon's heads to the beast's horns in Revelation 13:1. Look at 13:1 with me. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having ten horns and seven heads, and on his horns were ten diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. The shifting of the diadems from the dragon's heads to the beast's horns in Revelation 13:1 reveals the shift in power from the seven consecutive world empires to the ten kings under the final Antichrist. Okay, man, that's just more than I wanted to know tonight, but that's okay. You need to hear that, let that soak in. We'll review that. That will come up again. You will begin to understand how that all kind of plays in this second half of the book of Revelation. So Satan is depicted. How's he depicted, preacher? Satan is depicted as a seven-headed monster that rules the world. Satan has been allowed by God to rule the world since the fall and will continue to do so until the seventh trumpet sounds. Now, where's the seventh trumpet? Let's go back and find that. That's in Revelation 11, 15. Remember, because chapter 11 was kind of a mini ending to the thing. And then we got into chapter 12, and chapter 12 is kind of a prehistory. So chapter 11, verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Amen, church? So the influence, now we've talked about the symbols, what they mean. Let's talk a little bit about the influence and consequence of evil leadership by the dragon, okay? I mean, he was a leader. He was able to influence those around him, but his evil leadership and influence caused a whole lot, okay? The influence and consequence of evil leadership by the dragon. Verse 4, if you'll look at it with me, it says a third of the stars of heaven, right? A third of the stars of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. This reference in 4a refers back to the fall of Satan. Has he always been an evil creature? Did God create him to be evil? Not so much. He wasn't created to be evil. He has not always been an evil creature. In the beginning, he was the ranking angel in heaven. He was the ranking angel in heaven. He was, any Star Trek people? Star Trek? I got one back there waving, right? He was Jean-Luc Picard's number one, right? Number one. Yeah, he was. Any other Star Trek people? It was just me and him. Okay. Oh, thank you, Devant. All right. jump in there with us, man. Geek out. You're Star Trek, and you're Trekkie. All right. Okay. Very good. All right. So he's the number one. This is who the Satan is. In the beginning, he was the ranking angel in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 15 says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him," Ezekiel 28, 12 through 15, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the days you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." We said that he was highly intelligent, right? But there is a thing that takes whatever good there is in us and manipulates it, and twists it, and ruins it. It's a thing called pride. Pride got him. Pride got him. Pride was found in Lucifer's heart, and he tried to take God's throne. I remember when I was studying this, just cutting my teeth in Bible college. Now, there's no way. There's no way Satan tried to take the Lord's throne. I mean, if he's a created being in heaven, he sees the glory of God. He's the covering cherub. He's there to kind of usher the glory around. He knows God is omnipotent. He knows God is omnipresent. He knows God is omniscient. There's no way he could do it. There's no way he could want to do it. But pride, the intoxicating thing that gets us, right? Got him. And the conclusion of the studies was that, yes, he did try to overthrow the Lord after arguing with a professor, or let's say discussing with a professor. Well, it was probably more of an argument. But anyway, he finally let me get everything out, and then he just basically gave me the reference and said, look that up. And so Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 is the passage that I wish I would have known before, in my pride, I made myself look not very intelligent at all. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Lucifer sinned and became Satan and was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14, 15 says, "Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." Ezekiel 28, 16 through 18 is where we stop, right? As deep as this is, and as detailed as it is, and as weighty as it is, it's 8:01, right? So it's time to stop. Just stop. I'm going to stop right here. Any questions what we've covered? Ezekiel 28, 16 through 18 is where we stop. We're talking about the fall of Satan. Can I leave you with one good thought? As evil as he is, and as powerful as he is, right? And as tricky as he is, and as funded as he is, because he is funded, and as networked as he is, there's a lot of demonic. We will get into next week how many demons are there actually? What are we dealing with? We dealing with 100,000? Dealing with 1,000,000? How many demonic out there, man? Oh, we dealing with much more than that, right? Networked, well-connected. In spite of all of that, you have something stronger, right? You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. If you're saved, you're sealed. Holy Spirit living in you, right? Your spirit is alive, okay? You're headed for the day of redemption. And the Bible says He cannot remove you from God's hand. He cannot remove you. He could come against you. He could tempt you. And God may or may not allow Him to do some things to you. But He cannot remove you. He cannot remove you from God's hand, right? You can have a ride like Job, right? But He can't remove you. Job never lost his salvation. He lost everything, but he never lost his salvation, right? You can always take that to the bank, friend, that your salvation is rock solid. It's not based on a feeling. Your salvation is based on a fact. It's based on the very Word of God, right? And if the Word is true, you cannot be removed from God's hand. Amen? That's a good thought to go home on. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for, Lord, what it means to us and how it equips us, challenges us, convicts us, holds us accountable, Lord, puts us on the right path, tells us how it's all going to end. Lord, helps us see the big picture. Lord, we know that man has fallen, but we are so thankful that grace has come. And Christ has died for our sin. Lord, what a blessed gift that is. We praise You and we thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, that we were not blinded, that we received salvation, that we expressed our faith in You, and that You came in and You live in us for all eternity. We praise You and we thank You tonight, Lord, for that. We pray You give us safety as we depart here tonight, Lord, and give us a good rest of this week. And Lord, we just pray You prepare our hearts and our minds for worship this coming Sunday. And Lord, may You draw Your church together to worship You and to praise You in one accord, in one place. Thank You for those watching online tonight, Lord. We're prayerful and we're thankful, Lord, as they get ready to come back to us, Lord. We look forward to the day we can all be together. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Do want to give you just a few quick announcements before we get out of here. I don't think I mentioned this when we began, but this coming Sunday will be our last mandatory mask Sunday. Starting in May, the first Sunday in May, masks will be optional. So, and the Wednesday nights following that, masks will be optional. So, we're just asking you to continue to social distance, you know, every other pew, and stay together in family units and space out family units. But, you know, you come in, you got the mask on, you don't want to sing with a mask on, take the mask off. You don't want to listen to the message with a mask on, leave the mask off. We get ready to leave. It's time to dismiss. We're going to put our masks on and walk out the door. We get out the door, take your mask off, right? So starting in May, masks are optional. That's right. Starting in May, masks are optional. The first Sunday in May will be our first Lord's Supper in a long, long time. So we'll be observing the Lord's Supper that first Sunday in May. And so we'll take precautions. The deacons will be gloved, and they'll probably have their masks on and all that stuff. So we'll probably have elements set out where you can come get them, and you know, we'll have you spaced, and you'll be spaced out and come get them and go back. And some of the elements will be, I don't know, we'll do it safe. We'll do it safe. We'll be spaced. We'll all that jazz. But we've got to get back to some normalcy and have the Lord's Supper. So we've got a lot to catch up on. So that's coming the first Sunday in May. And then for Mother's Day, We're seeking to have a Mother's Day fellowship. So we'll be, that's the second Sunday in May, is that? Yeah, second Sunday in May is Mother's Day. And so we'll be having dinner on the grounds in the gym. And we'll space the tables out appropriately. And the food line will just be one side. You know how we used to do the food line where, you know, it's two people going, you know, and everybody gets their food. The food line now is going to be really long, and it's going to be spaced out, or we're going to have men serve you or something. But it's going to be it's going to be safe and spaced and all that. And we'll have much Germex. There will be much Germex everywhere, right? And so you'll be able to, if you serve yourselves, you'll be able to Germex your hands before you start touching all the utensils. And when you get to the end, you'll be able to Germex your hands before you take your plate to your table. If the men are serving you, they'll have masks on and gloves on, and you won't have to touch the utensils. It just kind of depends on how many folks we get to help us volunteer. So does that sound good? Mother's Day fellowship, it's time to start getting back to some normalcy. So Mother's Day fellowship on Mother's Day. So those of you watching online, if the mask thing has kind of been a holdup, we just have the one more Sunday of mandatory mask, and then after that, it's an optional thing. So hope that gives some relief where relief is needed, and we can get on down the road with it. Amen? All right, let's close with the word. Have I prayed yet? Oh, well, y'all are dismissed. Okay. I can pray again. All right, y'all are dismissed. See y'all online. Good night.